Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to musician and rapper and visual artist AWOL1 from the legendary Shapeshifters crew and the Cloaks. My favorite part of his interview was him talking about his bandmate Circus finding a notebook filled with alien symbols. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, musician, visual artist, rapper. He does it all. AWOL1. How you doing, brother? It's good having you. I'm nerding out right now. I'm wearing a Shapeshifters hat and the whole thing.
Awesome, man.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I think you are our second Shapeshifter to be on the podcast. Shout out to Tumex, Alex. We got nothing but love for Alex here.
Yeah, big ups to Tumex and the Cloaks and, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to plug the Cloaks. Best believe that. I have a lot of things I wanted to talk to you about. First off, I told you before we start filming, my crew Noble Hops opened for you early 2000 at the Club Echo.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, man.
And then you guys were popping off during that.
Yeah, those were definitely like the things were really rising at that time, man. You know, I don't think at the time I knew it. It was just happening.
Yeah. I want to get to the history of CBS and the Shapeshifters, but I also remember when I moved in with my brother. We lived in a place we called it the dumpster. The one poster I had up was adopted by aliens.
Nice.
And I didn't know it at the time, but you know the main man in it, Marshall Applewhite.
Yes.
From the Heaven's Gate cult, the leader. Right. What inspired that? Because that was trippy. That was a trippy poster. Because Yoda was in it in the corner.
He was. Yeah. Axis did that artwork, and you know, we just kind of felt like it fit the project.
Yeah.
And everyone thought it was the Star Trek guy because it had the Star Trek emblem.
Right.
So everybody thought it was Picard or whatever. No. But we're like, no, it's Applewhite.
Yeah.
And then randomly we get this letter from Lucasfilm telling us to take off the Yoda. So
wait, they gave you static about that?
Yes, we ended up framing the letter that they sent. Circus framed it in his apartment.
I want to ask about, we're going to talk about Circus too.
So there's two versions of that art. You're going to notice there's one with Yoda, and then there's one with Jason hockey mask over the Yoda. And that was our resolution. Yeah, we just covered his face.
Oh, that's insane. Yeah. So they were tripping on that?
And we I was just honored that they even knew, that they even recognized it. So it was kind of funny, but yeah.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I just that's what sparked it for me. And then shout out to the homies Mestizo and Mascaria,
because
those dudes pushed the music. Like, hey, you got to listen to this.
Nice.
Like Mestizo, knew about you guys in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he had tapes he would bring back. I'm like, who are these guys?
Yeah, JJ.
Yeah,
Yep.
Shout out to JJ.
Yeah, shout out. He's actually Mestizo rocks on the new Cloaks album.
He does?
Yeah, he has a verse. We have one posse cut, and he's on it.
Yo, let's plug that real quick. We're going to get into that. Let's plug that real. Gail Rock.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So shout out to Gail Rock and Mestizo on this new Cloaks album. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's the album's called A Cloakwork Orange. And the main MCs are me and Gail Rock.
Yeah.
Awkward does all the production.
Yeah.
All the cuts are by D Styles.
Isn't he a
He's a scratch pickle and a beat junkie.
Yeah. Oh, that guy's legit, dude.
Yeah, we've been working together for a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. So, yeah, we decided to put together this posse cover for this record. And,
yeah.
And we got Dose. We took him out of the shadows and put
him on
there, too.
Shout out to Anticon Records, too. For sure. Not a lot of people remember them, but they were around when y'all were doing your stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Soul
yeah, we used
Dose.
To tour together.
Yeah, that's
how I know all those dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, they had interesting music as well. It was kind of out of the box.
He was definitely left field, especially for that time. And
I remember their sticker had an ant on it, and it just said Anticon. Uh-huh. Had an ant. Yeah. How did you link up? How did you meet JJ, aka Mestizo? He's gonna love this, by the way, because if he watches this.
Oh, you know, I can't remember. He was just always there. I think.
He was at all the shows.
I don't think I ever met him. I think I just knew him.
He just
appeared. He's just always been this great dude. And every time we're chilling, he just smiles. And
talented artist,
super
too.
Fucking talented.
Super
dope
talented.
MC.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the last time we chilled, it was me and Gail and him out in Philly, as I was telling you. That's the last time I chilled with Mestizo.
Yeah, man, what a great state, huh?
Yeah, man.
Shout out to the Penn State Nittany Lions for because they just won the NCAA Division One wrestling championships for, like, got like 4 years straight. I don't know how many years straight.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, they breed strong, really talented wrestlers, collegiate wrestlers.
My mom is from Pennsylvania.
Really? Yeah. Whereabouts? Derry?
She was from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, Pennsylvania.
You know what I like? I like the brick buildings. I like the grayness and the dead tree. It's dope out there, dude.
Every tree's dead.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? They look more deader and skinnier. Mm. Now, CBS is a graffiti crew.
Right.
And how did that formulate? And are the members of Shapeshifters predominantly from CBS? I always wondered that.
Yeah. Shapeshifters was kind of started from, it was Perk and Mech and Realm. They were like these old school CBS writers. And then from there, it turned like Perk got Circus and Jay in there, and then I was in there. And then from there, it kind of morphed, you know, with Radio Inactive. And then, of course, like the other MCs from CBS, like Exist Stereo and Bleach.
Shout out to Courtney and the Gibson. Yes. I got nothing but love for the Gibson brothers. Continue.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Gibsons. Mm-hmm. They're awesome.
Good folks.
So, yeah, it just kind of happened like that. You know, I met Circus at a graph yard, and he gave
me
some crazy
fucking
tape.
He's my favorite. He's one of my fucking favorite.
Yes.
Unique. You two, all y'all, but, dude, I like him because he's weird, and he opened my mind to reptilians, but continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I met him, I was already intrigued by him. I was like, man, yeah.
He
built this friendship.
How did you meet Circus?
I met him at a graffiti yard. And Mir was painting, and actually the cops came that day, and everybody ran different directions, and I ended up running with Circus, and I think we ended up eating lunch somewhere, and then we exchanged numbers, and then he called me one time for my address, which was kind of strange. What? And then and I gave him my address,
and
he sent me this box of, like, fucking drawings and poems and tapes.
Really?
And then we just kind of became friends from there, man.
Yeah. Can I tell you my first introduction to him?
Yeah.
So back in the day, you probably remember, I think early 2000 off Melrose, kind of on like the unsafer section, kind of more towards Vermont and
Okay.
There used to be a club, but there was breakers there, and it was like a weekly event or bi-weekly event. I think it was called Elements or something that.
Oh, yeah, there's Elements was right around.
Yeah, and then I just remember they had a Street Fighter. They had the main area where, you know, the MCs were, you know, the acts were performed. But then in the lobby area, there was a Street Fighter arcade, you know, gaming thing. And I remember I was either watching him, and then he just looked over at me like this. And then and then I got scared because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's Circus. Because, you know, I was back then, I was just trying to get into the scene. And I mean, this club was raw, dude. Like one time I went there, fucking Fife Dog, rest in peace, was there. He ended up battling some local rap, like, and it was Fife from A Tribe Called Quest. Happened to be at this little club in L.A., and I'm like, oh, they're about to go at it.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, this club was, like, true. Like, there was, I'm sure the L.A. Breakers were, like, you know, Breakers, Graffiti Writers, rap, like, they were all there.
Right.
Yeah, but that was my first introduction to him.
That's dope. That's a real person introduction, man. That's
yeah.
Some
it was
real
just
deal.
A
shit.
Look in it because his eyes were just, you know. Oh yeah. They man. Look. He looked like. Oh.
Well, he was definitely the type of guy like, you could hang out all night, and then at the end of the night, he's like, I took 3 tabs and I ate a half a bag of shrooms, and he doesn't tell you till like later. I guess because he doesn't want you, you know, fucking with him during the
he's
process.
He's done that to you?
Oh, countless times. Yeah.
So you're hanging out with him.
And he'll just be on multiple, whatever was offered to us.
Would it be at home or out in public? Like, how would this happen?
Mostly it was out in public, yeah.
And he would just be on hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
And he would tell you after.
After the fact, yes.
Yeah. Now, did he really, has he really seen aliens, do you think?
I'd say absolutely yes. Yeah, dude.
Because he knew, dude,
stories, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can you just share one? I mean, like, just so you don't have to, like, you know, like, we're not trying to put anyone on blast. I mean, you could even talk about it third person, whatever. Or just, like, a broad story of this, and then you're like, yeah.
One time, we were walking, ironically, we were walking to a liquor store. And we were walking through the parking lot of this, it was like a post office. And it was dark, there's no one around, and literally this old, weird, dirty guy pops up, and he hands Circus this book. It's kind of stapled together, it had like fucking, like, you know when they put those brass pins through like a hole of paper, you know, what are those called? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like it's like a binder.
Yeah,
right?
binder. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it was
just
all like Xerox shit with like the scribbles and all this stuff, you know. And it had all these symbols and he hands it to Marcus, and I don't know if he said like something like, you know what to do.
Wait,
with
who's
this.
Who's Marcus? That's
Circus.
That's his real name.
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Oh, okay.
I
it almost sounds like Circus Marcus. You know. It sounds really close.
That's so cool. His name is Marcus.
And the funny thing is he looks like my biological brother. They looked alike, right. So everyone always used to get them confused. Yeah. But yeah, so the dude hands him the shit, and then he's kind of gone. We're like, hey, where'd this guy go, you know?
Well, he shapeshifted.
Dude, I'm just saying. And then we still didn't know what was in the book. And so we walk in the liquor store. We're just, you know, clowning, doing whatever we're doing, and he starts looking through this thing, and he was just like, "Yeah, I'm supposed to have this thing," and so that was one of my experiences. Yeah,
he was supposed to have.
He said he was supposed to have that book.
And what was in the book?
It was like Xeroxed gibberish. It was fucking like symbols. There was words. It was like,
oh man,
it looked like almost like blueprints to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does that relate to aliens? Was it alien language?
It kind of
was
looks, you know, like if somebody gives you, like, or you watch an alien movie, or even, like, when Doctor Strange does his shit, there's, like,
a
symbol.
Yeah,
it's very symmetrical.
Yeah. It's
like
a mathematical.
Patterns.
Yeah.
Mathematical patterns.
Yeah, it looks like hieroglyphs or something.
Yes,
but yeah, like a weird.
So it's, like, angles is telling you, it's, like, and I couldn't make sense out of it.
But he understood it.
I don't know if he did, but he was just kind of like, I'm supposed to have this, and then it became a running joke for a while.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, and then, but his belief system was that was meant to happen, and this is an alien sign that these things exist?
Some sort of, like, communication or something, yeah. Yeah, man.
You got one
more. Well, they already had the name Shapeshifters. When I first got into it, that name was already kind of established, like, we're the Shapeshifters, and then that's why I was already kind of like, well, what is this all about?
Yeah. How'd you even come up? Yeah, like that. That's a good kind of talking point. Like, how did you even come up with the name as a rap collective, L.A. rap collective?
Yeah, because
it's such a unique name.
Yeah,
it stands out.
Like Mech had moved to New York, and then Perk was still doing like ex-Vandal stuff, and you know he's on a lot of the Shapeshifters, but Yeah, they were the originators.
Yeah. And then so CBS, so a lot of them, the Shapeshifters were a lot of CBS members, is what you're saying? Yeah. Like, so Radio Inactive wrote too?
Not really. He was more, but he was part of the crew. He was always part of the crew.
And then Life Rexall, obviously. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. Life Rexall mainly was a producer and an MC.
Wasn't a dude named Ludacris a part of it?
Yeah. Doc Lude.
Yeah. Not the Ludacris they all know, but like a white guy named Ludacris. Yeah. Just kind of tall, skinny.
Yeah.
He was in the DVD too. He had a couple of, because you guys had a, what was it? You had a DVD out.
Yeah, it was actually like a 3D DVD.
It came with 3D. It had some of your music videos. Mm. It had some gigs on the road.
That was like before YouTube. Yeah. You had to buy like a DVD VHS.
Yeah, yeah. And then as far as like, how did you guys like come up with like songs? Did you write together? Did you individually do it? Or were you in the same room writing these songs?
Most of the time we're all together.
Like, so I'll give you an example, like a song like Words of Wisdom or something.
Yeah, we were all together in the studio. And back in those days, there wasn't really much remote, you know, rapping or sharing files. So we would all have to be together. You build the song together most of the time. Somebody bounces an idea off somebody. And then sometimes like, we would all want to do a cut, but not everybody would like the concept, so it only ended up being like three of us. We're like, well, I dig that. So there was like a different process.
Yeah, what about, because the production's unique too as well.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like that was Transducer. Who else? LAJ. Definitely LAJ. Life Rexall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then actually we would pay this one cat who was just down with the scene. He worked at Capitol Records, so late at night, we would go up there, and he would, he mastered our shit, and...
he did that?
Yeah, like at Capitol, as a favor.
As a favor.
Yeah, so that's how we ended up kind of getting kind of a big sound out of, like, little recording, you know? We would we'd record in little spots, but we would mix them in a bigger studio, so it would sound wider, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Whatever means you do to record, I just, as long as there's some kind of recording of it. Oh, I don't really care. I mean, me personally, I like four-track sounding shit, the hissing. I like that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I understand as far as, like, more appeal to expand your brand or whatever. That makes sense to me now. Back then, I'm like, no, it has to be more hissing and raw. Right. Yeah, yeah. Because
there's charm in both.
Yeah, there's charm in both. Yeah, there's charm in both. But that's why Hieroglyphics appealed to me because... this is even like kind of 93 until infinity, but like the Hiro oldies,
right?
Like the tape recordings. I'm like, I like that the best.
Yeah, because it sounds like they recorded in like a living room.
Yeah, but you guys did that too, right?
Absolutely.
Come
man.
On.
Yeah, Circus used to go everywhere with this four track and this eight track, and we would literally take it to people's houses. We would go to Tumex's house.
Oh, like the tape four tracks?
Yeah.
Like the Tascams?
Yeah, the fucking Tascams. Yeah. So that was like our mobile studio for half of those joints were like
so
that.
Like the great Tascam, you put the tape in, and then there's only what, like two plugins.
You keep
for
bouncing
the mic.
Tracks over and over to make it bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Or one beat you could pan it left or right or do like little tricks with it.
Yeah, or you could maybe record the beat on like three tracks and then bounce them all over to one, so then you got your other three left. And that's why people's vocals are all over the place.
I love it. Up. Okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is now a time for our sponsor. The Stevie Weeby Show is sponsored by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. In a clinical study, men showed improvement in hair growth and thickness 3 and 6 months. That's why it's recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. Grow thicker, healthier hair and support the show by going to Nutrafol.com and use promo code Stevie, STEEBEE, to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com with promo code Stevie, STEEBEE. Stand up for your strands and get Nutrafol. All right, let's go back to these cool four track recordings. So you guys started off that way, huh? Like do those types of recordings?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like how did you, cuz when I worked at Amoeba, I'd see your guys' shit coming all the time. Like how did you, cuz you guys were on smaller labels later, right? Like professionally shrink-wrapped and, you know, manufactured and stuff. How did it get from that to getting your stuff at Amoeba shrink-wrapped and on records and stuff like that?
Yeah. At first, you know, we put our stuff out ourselves, and then we were on small labels that had big distribution. So we ended up signing to a few different, you know, mid-sized labels, and they had good distribution back then. And, I don't know, for some reason, our weird shit was selling. And, so we just,
so was Planet of the Shapes kind of manufactured that way?
Yeah. That was originally a tape.
That was a tape.
Yeah, that was a tape.
Really?
And then this label picked it up and turned it into like...
Wasn't it like a two or three? Wasn't there two CDs in there?
Yeah.
You guys had like a lot of material.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
Right, if I remember
that. I mean, back then, that's pretty much all we did is like record and create shit. And that's, I mean, we were young and that was what we did all the time, man.
Yeah. So do they still, are like the members, are y'all still cool with each other? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I got to get Radio and Active in here too.
You do.
So,
He's a really interesting guy, man.
Oh, he's got a unique, there's a few LA-based rappers that can rap super fast.
Right.
Like Eli is one of them, you know, all them, the project, a lot of those Project Blow dudes. But dude, Radio and Active, man.
Oh yeah.
He's dope. In there. I mean, in my opinion. He's right in there with those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he had a really dope album with Bus Driver called The Weather.
Oh, it's just him too. I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, we did like a grueling like 2-month tour. We like lived in a van. It was fucking wretched, but it was amazing at the same time, you know.
Was Bus Driver affiliated with the, because he's in Who's Got Presence?
Yep.
He's in that music video, isn't he? Him and Gino?
Yeah, we've known each other forever. Done tons of tours.
Shout out to Bus Driver.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want him too. Yeah, I want him all. Yeah. So yeah, that he's just a homie. He's
for like, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's on, you know, we're all splashed on each other's records.
Yeah.
All over the place.
So are they, so you're still in contact with several, like, cause you know, how do you keep everyone together? Like,
yeah, it's hard. I mean, I see Tumex pretty often. We have this thing called Secret Saviors. It's like
is that a project or something?
Yeah, it's an NFT project.
Oh, let's shout that out real quick, man.
Yeah,
let's
big
that.
Up
let's
Secret Saviors.
How do they get
SSOHipHop.com.
Mm-hmm. And then and that's where they go to get the NFT?
Yeah, so it's they're digital hip hop trading cards. They're about to be physical as well. We released series one, and then we're about to do series two.
Yeah.
So Secret Saviors is Tumex. Most of the artwork is done by me. And then Craig 5150 is kind of like the spearhead of the whole thing.
Right. And then how many, are you going to re-up that? And like, are you going to keep putting out NFTs?
Yeah, absolutely.
As well?
The series one was, we did 15 cards. And then series two, I think, is going to be 16. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of the homies on board. We got a cool Keith card, an idea card.
Wait, you got a cool Keith card?
Yeah, man.
So I just saw on your IG, you're a fan of Cool Keith and Ultramagnetic.
Yeah, I've worked with him for a long time already.
For Cool Keith?
Yeah, I've done multiple projects with him.
I mean, I didn't even know that.
Oh, he's a god MC.
That's what I'm saying. That's like working with someone like Q-Tip or like even...
For sure.
I mean, like, because he's been around since Ultramagnetic.
Dude, I still fan out just even knowing that he's a friend, so it's still weird.
I gotta know this story. How the hell did you meet Cool Keith then?
We used to both record at Cubmaster Kurtz. He had a studio in Santa Monica.
What?
I was making a record with Mike Nardone, and
I remember that dude.
Yeah, KXLU.
Yeah, and then he put out like those kind of like trippy kind of like there's a, was that a mushroom? No, was it a mushroom on the cover? I don't. Maybe it's someone else. Sorry. Oh, KXLU.
Yeah,
he was the DJ for that.
We came from beyond. Was
yeah,
the
we
show.
Yeah, gotcha.
And he was also the DJ at 92 The Beat. They had a show called The Joint.
Okay.
It was a
okay.
Hip-hop show back then.
So you and then keep going with the Cool Keith thing.
Yeah, so I was just making a record with Nardone. It was originally supposed to be for Grand Royal, and then it ended up, you know, finding a
shout out to the Beastie Boys.
with it ended up finding a home with Daddy Kev.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was me, Cool Keith, and Volume 10, and
And then 10 ever from since, the blow?
From the blow. Oh. Yep. Yeah,
that's
man.
Interesting, man. And then what's he like? What's his like the my only I have
Who,
a
Keith?
Yeah.
Okay, he's as weird as you think he is.
I know, and
he's also equally as amazing as you think he is. He's a he's a special human being, man.
My one Cool Keith story is at Amoeba, I'm on register one, the one at the corner. And it goes, you know, chronologically, like, you know, I was like, you know, waiting for my next customer, and I got Cool Keith.
Oh, sick.
He had his basket, and I didn't know what he was going to purchase. You know what he bought? He bought like 25 99 cent, like shitty jazz CDs.
Wow. Okay. Crazy.
And he didn't say anything, and I didn't want to fan out too hard. I was more nervous when I rang up Beck.
Okay.
But Cool Keith, it was up there for me. So I was like, oh, fuck, it's Cool Keith.
Sick.
Just be cool. And then I shouldn't have said anything, but I said, huh, see, I don't know why I said this, but I said, are you getting samples in it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
like,
first thing.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that, but I felt like infringing.
He's buying jazz.
Yeah. But I'm like, so you gonna sample one of these CDs? And he didn't really say much. He didn't say much. I think he had a notebook with him or two, like with his lyrics or something. And
true.
Awesome. But so he is he is weird.
Yeah, and I mean, I think all geniuses have this touch of like. There's just this touch of extraness.
Yeah, Daniel Johnston, rest in peace. He had that too, you know. Okay. Like he was a bit weird, but he had a mental kind of like a mental thing going on too, like a bipolar or something. But yeah, so that's interesting. So since you brought that up, like what other artists have you work with on top as well as Cool Keith and any more?
For the Secret Saviors or just
in general, like
luckily I've gotten to work with a lot of dope artists, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
You mentioned Idea.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
How did you link up with the Rhymesayer dudes? Like,
Well, I originally met Slug touring through Minneapolis with Circus, and we did an in store at his Fifth Element thing, and then we met. We've recorded a few songs together since then. We still keep in contact a little bit. He's a great dude. But yeah, it was going to Minneapolis, playing shows in Minneapolis, hanging out there. Idea was always hanging out. He was always a good dude. You know, he would come to the studio and hang out. And it was tragic what happened.
Yeah, it really, rest in peace, and yeah. I mean, the very talented artist, freestyler, yeah. Musician, songwriter. I see a lot of similarities as far as their spontaneity and freedom with Circus and him a little bit, like, even though they had completely different styles.
Right.
But remember Spaceland?
I do, LA? Yep.
I was there at a show, and I think it was, I don't know who was headlining, but the openers were Slug and Idea.
Okay.
And look, and this is going back to, like, you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, like, even the Shapeshifters, like, you guys don't look like your ordinary, like, rapper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even back then, it's mostly because you guys were kind
of
like, you know.
I would say we were kind of one of the first to kind of, like, not dress like.
No, you guys were, like could have been skaters or something.
Yeah, and we were.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, yeah.
But I, when I looked at them, I go, what's this guy going to do?
Okay.
Who is this guy? Is it going to be an indie rock band opening up? And boy, did he shut me up real quick. I mean.
Talking about Idea?
Yeah, I'm like, talking about Idea. Yeah, like, yeah. When they started their live show, because who was their DJ? Abilities?
Yeah.
He was using that thing like he was like a orchestra or like mm-hmm. a band. Like they were doing skits and like their live show, it like opened my mind. Same thing with Ugly Duckling. Like they had a good live show too.
Oh, with Einstein.
Yeah, like it was like a show, a performance. It was like theatrical in a way that, you know. But
you could tell that they practiced.
Yeah, you could tell that they practiced. You could tell that they rehearsed it. But he did a lot of freestyling as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he was kind of known for at the beginning.
Well, Idea?
Freestyle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was more of a battler. They had this thing out there, Blaze Scribble Jam.
Yeah, and Blaze. He was the Blaze champion.
Yes.
Yeah, and
Exactly.
So you guys linked up. I mean, you guys got along good there, like when you...
Yeah, yeah, and we've known him since back then. And yeah, it's... I mean, back then, it was before the internet, so it's like if you kind of met some kind of like-minded people that are sort of on the same path, you kind of, I don't know, you tend to kind of just keep in touch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And have mutual respect and, you know, appreciate each other's art.
Was Slug cool too?
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always looked up to him. Like, yeah. Again, like back at Amoeba, you know, they would have in stores.
Okay.
Like I seen Fishbone for nice. Free, Queens of the Stone Age. Like nice. Any act, I was just, you know, at my, yeah, this free
That's
concert.
Dope.
Atmosphere came through.
Nice.
I wasn't familiar with them.
Okay.
But boy, afterwards, I'm like, oh, dude, they got a fan base.
Yeah.
And he walked in. He had just this cool jacket, and I'm like, oh, dude, that's him. That's the guy that was just on stage. You know.
Tight.
That's, you know, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. But
yeah.
Again, that was just like, okay, I was trying to put the pieces together, and I'm like, okay, that's Atmosphere, and that's Slug.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look what he's doing now.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's always climbing. Man.
Now, are you what's the he does a festival called Soundset or something?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've played there. I've done a solo set at Soundset, and then I also DJed for the homie at Soundset.
Yeah, how was that experience?
Oh, super dope. Yeah, it was really dope.
You fly
on
out?
The bill that year.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go,
yeah.
Go through the bill.
That year was like MF Doom, LP, shit, man. I mean, POS, which is always kind of, he's always been big out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even Haiku Dita, like Ab, AC, Micah were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Far Side, I think, was on the bill that year.
Man, that's one of my favorites.
But the sound sets were always huge.
Yeah, so
it's always like 30, 40,000. It's fucking nuts.
30,
yeah.
40,000?
Yeah.
For a hip hop festival?
I think it's like the biggest thing that the Midwest has, so everybody comes out.
So is it outside?
It's outside, and they have, you know, it's like a car show. It's like, you know,
there's
two stages.
There's B-boys?
Vending, B-boys.
So it's all elements.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's the biggest Midwest festival.
What is the graffiti? Is there a graffiti out there, too?
Yeah, there's a few cats out there that are dope. Biafra's out there. He's a really dope writer. They actually have a bunch of dope writers out there.
Right, right, yeah. Right. So that's an annual thing that he's been doing.
Yeah, I don't know about during COVID and all that, but definitely it's. I know that they've thrown quite a few of them already.
Okay, now before we get into the cloaks, right? Is it there? Well, there might be a future, maybe a reunion kind of Shapeshifters like album or something or some collab.
Yeah, Jay has a few. He has a few recordings and. We tried playing all of us together maybe like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody pretty much showed up except maybe like two of us. But the show was dope.
Was Circus there?
He was not, man. And that's why that was kind of like, we're not going to do another one without him.
That was just
weird, you know? So
is he still, is he alive still?
He's alive.
I'm sorry, because
there has been Circus sightings. A friend of mine Asmar seen him recently, and
in California.
Yeah, I believe he's been sighted in the Torrance area. He's like Bigfoot, you know. There's like little there's Circus sightings, you know.
So there has been sightings, like yes. People contact you, like, dude, I saw him at this 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah,
I seen him here. So is he? Do you know if is he still recording music or?
I don't think so. I think he's, from what I understand, he's like really into video games and he's still doing art and stuff.
I could see him playing like Elden Ring or something.
Oh my God,
he
already lived that in his mind, so of course.
The Zelda thing.
Yes.
Yeah. He,
Kid Zelda was actually.
Yeah, yeah. What was the infatuation with Zelda? Like he was into that.
Even back then.
The mythical, like Lord of the Rings type stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. He had these little elf ears he would wear sometimes. And, He was Kid Zelda, man.
Did he have a Zelda beat?
Yes, he used to sample 8-bit shit.
Yes,
way back then, man. Yeah. I
didn't
I don't,
he do a Mario?
He did.
Yeah, he did that too, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
he was kind of the first person I heard sample like anything 8-bit, you know.
So he was ahead of his time.
Oh, absolutely.
I think
yeah,
can
for
I
sure.
can I I think he might be from the future, man.
I think so, man.
No, because I thought...
He might be.
Because I... It's hard to find... The only interview I could find on YouTube is him on Husky Radio.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, and then he's drinking a soda, and then he's talking about how aliens or the FBI or something confiscated his computer hard drive, and the aliens corrupted some of the songs he was working on. Does that sound kind of far-fetched?
No, he told us the same thing. He would
tell us
that he would have to delete tracks because there was
the Grays on it.
Yeah, there was
the Grays knew about it.
There was the Grays.
But you could say it.
Yeah,
we've talked about aliens.
He talks about it too.
So. Oh, okay.
I'm not saying anything he wouldn't.
Yeah, right. So he said that they were trying to block him releasing this music.
And he would say that they would put themselves on the track, and he didn't record them, and he would have to take them off the track.
Who's them?
I think it could be the Grays. It could be the Grays.
I'm so sorry. It could be the Grays. I'm so sorry.
It could be the Grays.
Dude, I'm so sorry. Dude, I'm laughing with, because I believe,
oh, I love the dude. He's amazing.
He's an amazing person, man. I got to be honest with you. He's like one of the most, like, intriguing, fascinating people. Like,
I agree.
Super talented. Like, even like all you guys had, you're such different styles. Like, his was so loopy. His he was all over the map with it.
Right.
Like, yeah. What's that song? Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's an example of, like, it's like, what the, this is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost like, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just saying, Circus, if you happen to watch us, we love you.
Peace, Circus.
We fucking love you, man.
We hope you're healthy.
You're always welcome. You know, if you drop a project, please come here. I want to promote your next project, that if you choose to record more music,
dope.
You're always welcome here. We love you, man.
Yes, sir.
And please take care of yourself and just be healthy.
Circules.
The Cloaks.
Dope.
So how did you and Gale Rock link up? And I want to talk about, because you guys are doing a festival soon as well. Like, go ahead.
I mean, I've known Gale since, like, high school. And, you know, we've run with the same crews, you know, like Mass Man and like the Life's, the 573s and all that stuff. Like, so we've always kind of ran together. And
Is that graffiti shit?
Yeah.
Okay, because that sounded like yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's
because that's a whole world on it to itself. Like,
absolutely,
I don't have,
man,
to think, you know, you guys, like, there's so much ninja kind of code structure. Like, it's hard
to
decipher.
I'm not, you know, active,
yeah,
you know, right now, but so I've known him forever, and we've always recorded and done shows together, and he's even on some of the old Shapeshifter shit. He'll splash a verse.
Yeah,
here and
he
there.
Was. He's been on some of you guys' songs. Yeah.
So we made a mixtape. The mixtape went good, and then we started doing the Cloaks, and this is our third Cloaks album now.
Dope. And then who's producing it? How are you guys putting this stuff out?
This is on Abilano Records, and it's produced by this cat, Awkward. He lives in London.
Yeah. How'd you meet this cat from London?
He was into the Bloat. He's like, he's produced stuff for me back in the day, and like Mike Eagle and, you know.
Oh, open mic.
Yeah. And he came out for one of the Project Bloat anniversaries. So we've kept in contact, and he's just a really dope producer.
That's dope. What does he make his stuff on, if you don't mind me asking?
I see him... Mostly, I feel like he uses a lot of Pro Tools. We just did this thing where he kind of broke down his process, and I'm not too much of a techie, but...
Yeah, but does he use like an MPC, or does he use old gear like that?
Yeah, I think he uses some old gear, and then he puts it into digital and rearranges
it.
Right. But he's like a wizard type of guy. We'll give him our vocals, and then he gives us back some shit.
He can make it glimmer.
Yeah, he's like, he turns it into something else.
Oh, that's good. He's just good peoples, and he was a fan he likes the art form, and he's a fan of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's your writing process with Gale? Do you guys write together? Like, how does that work out?
We write we hang out so much, and we're always fucking clowning around, and half of the song ideas start out as a joke, and then it turns into some dark something else. So,
and then how could people best support, like, the Cloaks right now? Like, is it through Spotify? Like, how do they support
Spotify
it?
You know, you could We're on the socials. We're gonna play this festival in June with Dilated Peoples and Karis One, Raekwon, Tumex.
What, Raekwon's still doing?
Yeah, he's still killing it.
Have you met any of the Wu-Tang dudes? Like,
I have actually. Back in the day, man, Big B used to do this thing called Unity.
Wasn't that a California LA?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Unity.
Yeah, and I met them. They were playing in, like, it almost looked like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the whole Wu-Tang, and it was just like, just some raw underground fucking rap shit, you know?
I watched documentaries, even A Recipe's Double K, but People Under the Stairs, they used to go there when they were younger, I think.
Yeah, for
sure. All the Unity, like, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I just thought of an idea. What if a future Cloaks album, you just have Thess from People Under the Stairs produce the whole damn thing, okay?
Wow.
So I just thought of this idea. You don't have to, you know, you guys just worry about the writing. Have because Thess is an incredible producer, man. Have him produce the whole thing. What do you think about that idea?
I think that would be dope, man. I'm open.
I think that would be dope.
I'm open.
Like, have you guys done stuff, collaborations with Thess back?
Not really. I appreciate his, you know, his group and everything, but we've never collabed yet.
What about Ugly Duckling?
Yeah, definitely. I know Dizzy pretty good, and
Dizzy's been here too.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah.
Dope. So yeah, he's from right the Long Beach area. Yeah. Yeah.
Dizzy Dustin. Shout out to Dizzy. Big ups. Yeah. Yep. And Andy as well. Andy Cooper.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. There was a time where we were both kind of touring Europe, but we had played different clubs on different nights, so we were always kind of like, hey, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was weird.
Yeah.
It was like a intertwining thing.
Right.
But yeah, Dustin's always been cool. I mean, my brother used to live in Long Beach, so
yeah.
I've always been familiar with that scene.
Right,
you know?
Right. Because that's a scene unto itself, right? Long Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got Filiano and, you know, all those, you know, you got the Dub All-Stars. Long Beach has its own vibe to it.
Right.
Yeah, it's
they
dope.
Used to. We did a show. Our crew, Blue Cafe or something.
Yeah, the Blue Cafe.
Yeah. They had a class like back in the day. Dizzy invited us to do one show there. It was like a small state, but and is that right?
Absolutely. It was probably Bargain Music probably played that night.
Yeah,
they were always up there. Rest in peace to Josh. And
yeah,
but yeah. Know, Bargain Music was.
Was that a mom and pop?
Bargain Music, they actually they were on Cornerstone Ross. They had that that Long Beach vibe, almost Sublime-ish. But you know,
I like Sublime, dude.
Edge.
They had hits.
Oh, for sure.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, I was actually on the Sublime tribute album.
You were?
Yeah.
How could people listen to that?
Probably just Google it.
Yeah.
It was,
dude,
it was a while ago.
A lot of shit, bro.
Yeah, man. I've been doing this for a long time on this.
How long you been at it now?
Oh, shit, man. I think I went on my first tour. I turned 21 on tour. So I've been doing it for at least like 25, 26 years.
Damn. And you're still doing it. You're still do you still find enjoyment doing like the process? And the
I do. I toggle back and forth from my art to my music. That way I don't really get bored of one thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I start kind of feeling stale doing music,
I'll
concentrate
art?
More with my art and my printing. And
so, do you do stuff with pen and paintbrush or aerosol? Like, what's your medium? Like, what do you?
Lately, I've been doing a lot of digital art because you know, I've been working with a lot of different companies, so I like to give it to them ready to go. So I've been doing a lot of digital art. I'll sketch it out with pencil and stuff. But yeah, and then I'll knock it out like an Illustrator or whatever. And
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I know how to, you know, use a can, or I know how to use different mediums. But
you know what's a trip is like, because I was in a band with Dave Cho and Money Mark Mongchi, and we did a show in Minnesota, and because Dave comes from that, you know,
right.
And they were looking for him. They had, it was at an art kind of like artist space.
Okay.
And he was like out, I don't know, maybe talking to a fan or whatever, but they're like, oh, we want Dave to do art in the space. They had these walls.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, Stevie, you want to do something? And I could draw, like I draw, but that I don't know how to use.
Okay.
But I tried to do what I could. And it looked like it like maybe a fifth grader did, but when Dave came in, And they're like, oh, Dave, can you do something? Dude, when he grabbed that thing and did whatever he did, he drew like, you know, like the animal, you know, that Paul Proto animal chin.
Yes.
Search for, he drew like that kind of figure, okay. Like a Chinese man with the rice hat. Uh-huh. It looked like a real painting.
Wow.
And it blew my mind because I'm like, I just used that same spray can.
Okay.
It blotched out. But he knew, he did something where he covered the thing to make it thinner, or
okay,
he, you know, so I, that's when I had
control,
yeah, is that what you call it?
Yeah,
well, I guess
control.
That's what I saw. Then I'm like, oh, that's,
I'm familiar with his art, he's really dope, man.
Yeah. But he, like, when he did that with the spray can, I'm like, oh, he, like, that's, oh, like, shit. Sense it, like, he's, oh, okay, on some, right. Mr. Miyagi shit. I was just Daniel in the. Trying to, you know.
Did the whole place get like you couldn't breathe in there? Because
no,
the
he worked
shit?
So fast. Okay. Like he did it like he wasn't even looking. He was just like.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
yeah,
it looked,
yeah,
like a real fucking Chinese guy.
Wow.
And I'm like, and then I, because I saw him do it, and I'm like, what the hell? And I looked at mine, and I looked at his, and I'm like, oh, dude. Like,
dang.
Yeah. So going back to like, I know it takes skill.
I still feel like that. Sometimes I'll paint next to somebody that is just. Like,
do they have that skill set?
I feel like a fucking kindergartner sometimes. Because
they're doing some crazy shit.
They're just killing
it.
How
do they learn how to do that? Like,
it's practice, man. It's just years and years of just learning techniques, learning, you know, how to cut into your shit, like how to layer your shit.
As far as murals and shit like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So what are the main differences? Because I know people aren't familiar with this world. Do you start with tagging first, and then you go up to mural? You work your way up to mural?
Most people do, but I can tell you this, is everybody starts out shitty. Like, everybody. There's nobody that has came out the gate just fucking killing.
What do you mean shitty? Just like with everything? Even their letters look shitty?
Yeah, just looking toy. Like, everything's drippy or just looks nasty. Yeah. And
Go ahead. I mean, people might not know what that means. What is toy? That's a real... No,
yeah,
term.
I guess that's a like a term for like an amateur or some, you know, something that looks.
But
really
where do
shitty.
They come from? A toy, like you're a kid. That's a kid style.
Yeah,
that's
I guess that is. I've never
like
really.
Toys R Us. That's right. This toy.
Right.
And then do my intern gave me. So do you start with stuff like this?
Yeah, that was definitely a high school weapon, man, for sure.
So, because I'm always fascinated, like, how would you guys? Would you guys just take these from the art store? Like,
I mean, you know,
not to incriminate yourself, but you somehow you got your hands on one of these,
right?
And this is your lightsaber.
I mean, you know, back in the day, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, that was kind of, that was the only way to for a kid that had no way to have any type of fame to make a name for themselves.
So this is a way to get
neighborhoods where people didn't have no money, you know.
So this is a way to get your name and to get, like, what's All City mean?
All City would usually mean, like,
Just
like a writer who's not really, like, confined to one area or one neighborhood. Because, I mean, some writers would be, you know, mostly paint in one neighborhood, and that's their neighborhood, and nobody else could paint there. And then there's cats that are All City, and they'll just paint wherever. And I think that's kind of where the state of things are right now. I think people are more accepting of it.
Now, since technology is here, can you be all country or
all
global? All
world. Hey, there's people that paint all over the world now. I see.
That's what I'm saying,
it's
bro.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
But back then in the 90s, this is more street cred because the kids would have to take buses and go to neighborhoods.
Yes.
That you, right?
Yes.
Because I'm just like, this fascinates me. You know, I don't think we've had any graffiti writers on. Have we? I don't think so. I've reached out to a few. They're really mysterious.
Yeah,
they don't.
They're either like super elusive or they're very gangster. So there's like,
or they want like a ski. Like, I'll go on if I could put on a ski mask or something.
Yeah. So yeah.
Because I've reached out to
two
several
categories.
I'm not gonna say their names because I respect their anonymity. I've reached out to several and they're like, nah, dude, I can't do that. I'll do it with a ski mask. And if you could like change my voice. You know, like those crime documentaries where like they're interrogating someone and so one last thing. When I lived in Echo Park Silver Lake near Sanborn there, the house on the corner was a OG Latino, like OG gang dude that lived there. He looked like a pit bull. And they had a house. And when he walked down the street, people would just Like, yeah, you know, like, I remember one day, like, near the taco truck, he'd walk down. It was like a scene in a movie, like American Me Too or something, where him and his two homies, like, wearing, like, flannels. You know how they had their head up, their you know, they were like, they were like doing this. They just, they
depart like,
yeah,
the
they
Red
departed
sea.
Like cockroaches. But that family, his son, normal kid, they used to say, you know, his son's all city, fool.
Okay.
And I didn't even know what that meant until I kind of inquired. Because I love skateboarding, and some of those tagging kids skated too.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I'm like, I would ask, like, what does that mean? Like, he's all city, fool. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but you just clarified it.
Dope.
That means the kid was going around.
He was killing it.
Yeah, he was taking buses all the way here, there. And then what's the point? When you get recognized, let's say your name is a fictional name. Your name is Tezzer or something. That's if they see Tezzer everywhere, they're like, oh, that's Tezzer. But what's the use when they don't know what Tezzer looks like?
That's the thing. When you start getting older, those are the questions you ask yourself. You're like, what was it really for? And I don't
mystery,
know.
Dude,
I think it's just a kid that's just looking for themselves, trying to make a name for themselves. They want to be appreciated for something, I guess.
And on top
they
of that,
they want recognition in some way.
And I respect that.
Right.
And
right.
I acknowledge that. Right. But how do you get it when they don't know your real name? It's like they don't know Tezzer's Johnny Williams.
Well, the really dope shit is like when you're at a barbecue.
Yeah.
And then you meet like, yeah, I'm so and so. I'm so. You're, oh, fuck. You're that guy.
Oh,
you're that guy.
That's one. You're at the local dive bar.
Yeah.
Because I used to, I don't want to say the bar, but I used to go to this dive bar where all the graph head, like the local graph heads, would hang out, and they would, dude, it was literally people would drink their pints. As soon as that back door closed, they just were active.
Oh, okay.
They were jumping on the dumpsters and like getting on shoulders, and you know, like the,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I thought that was so weird. I'm like, what the
That's
hell?
Funny.
Yeah, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But it's like, I think it's kind of like a respect thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're, you know, like a jiu-jitsu school, like, or, oh, yeah, that guy's from 10th Planet, or he's a part of that crew.
Right.
He does this jiu-jitsu style. Mm-hmm. That's him. Like, it's kind of like that,
I guess, like any type of subculture,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But with skaters, you see their footage and you know what they look like. That,
true.
That guy did a laser flip crooked grind on that huge hubba.
Right,
you know, yeah,
right.
It's more apparent. I always wondered that, man. It was always a mystery to me. Not only that, you guys speak in, like, code, kind of, where you would have... I'm not going to say his name, but I remember because I knew a local crew around here. I used to drink beers with them. Some of them skated, but one of them was like, he was in his kitchen and he had have you heard of Marsh Ink?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Put it in like.
Yeah, describe. So describe to the viewers and listeners what that is.
Yeah, they would take that kind of ink or Bingo ink and then they'll put it in like a roll on and then kind of put. You know, at that time you would steal the erasers from the classroom and then you just turn it into like a giant marker. It's like, you know, 3.5 inches wide. It's this giant dripper, you know.
But the one thing that you didn't mention is, because they always said this, they emphasized this. Dude, you can't take it down, fool. It's permanent. You can go over, but it's permanent. It's like a really,
right.
It's hard to go over that. It's that permanent, right?
Yeah, you'll like paint over it.
That's what I'm saying.
The ink like seeps through the new paint.
Yeah, so he was a chemist making this concoction like into this pen or something, and he was pouring this marsh ink stuff, and I'm like, he looked like a scientist.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, dude, this is crazy. Yeah. Yep. So, okay, dude, I knew time would fly by with you because it was just could talk on and on. I wanted to plug your social. I wanted you to shout out the Cloaks and anything the Cloaks related and Gail, whatever you want to do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my website is speakerface.store. Mm-hmm. And all of my merch on there, I make myself. I'm a printer and I design it. And
is some of it in the box here?
Yeah, we don't need to.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, you could go through it later.
Okay.
But yeah, but I print
it
all
myself.
Okay,
that's fine. Because I would do that. Can I just grab one item?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we got speakerface.store.
This
hat? Yeah, I got hats in there. There's a beer that the Cloaks came out with. We did it through Hip Hop Craft and Beer Tape and. That's a hat collab we did with these cats, bro.
Oh, you know what's sick, dude? The back has your guys' names.
Dope.
So it says Cloaks here and A11 and Gale Rock in the back.
Dope. Yeah.
This is sick. How does one purchase one of these?
They're available on speakerface.store, and then they're also available through this other company. So this is a beer that we dropped.
I could give it to a guest or if you, yeah. So this is a Friday night flavor.
Yep.
Okay, so you have your own.
Yeah, we have our own beer. It's sold out already. But like what it was is like you could scan the back of the can and you could get music, you know, when we dropped it. But yeah, it's beer tape and hip hop craft and then the artwork's done by the homie Griffin from CBS.
And then this is dope too. This dope is Speakerface. Go to speakerface.store.
Yeah.
Speakerface.score. Look at can I present this? This is like a Spidey
on a boombox type deal.
So that's sick.
I just have fun with the designs. I like printing, man.
I'll wear this on my next podcast.
Dope.
I mean, yeah.
Dope.
How sick
I noticed
that
you always rock dark shirts and hats. It's right up my alley.
Absolutely. So, do you think other shapeshifters would be interested in doing this podcast as well?
Absolutely. I mean, for sure. Especially Tumex. Especially.
Alex has been here twice now. At least once or twice.
Okay, dope.
And then Radio and Active, too. I was talking to him for a minute. And then Gail, too. I mean.
For sure.
Yeah.
We got to get the cloaks.
Oh, Courtney would be good.
Yes.
Existerio.
Yeah, he lives on a really tight area in Oregon.
In Oregon.
Yeah, I went to visit him. He's doing amazing.
Is he still?
He's making beats. He fucking rides his motorcycle.
Oh, I know about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man. Yeah.
It's good. He's got some nice tattoos. Oh, I mean, I didn't even. Next time, part two, we'll do tattoo talk.
Dope.
Yeah. So, is your Instagram AWOL1?
Yeah. AWOL1 on all the socials. And
AWOL1. Follow him today. How do they get tickets for this festival with all these other groups as well as the cloaks?
Oh, yeah. I think it's called gardenamp.com. And it's June 25th and 26th.
And where is it held?
It's at the Garden Amphitheater. I believe it's in Garden Grove.
Garden Grove, California, right?
Yep.
Get your tickets today, right?
Yep.
And, yeah. And that's, I mean, when do you guys get on? Do you know when your time slot is?
I'm not too sure yet. I think we're headlining the little stage. So probably early evening, I would think.
Yeah. How long's your set?
We usually play 30, 40 minutes.
30, you know, 40 minutes? So that's about, six, seven songs, something like that?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. Do you guys rehearse or is it spontaneous?
Most of the time it's spontaneous.
I like that, dude. Hey, dude, I like
that's
that.
That's why,
dude.
I like touring.
That's raw. That's raw.
By the fourth or fifth show, you're just fucking on point.
Yeah, and you're already used to.
I mean,
right.
It's like comedy, you know.
Yeah.
You got to work it out, and you then work until out your it bits. Fucking smooths out.
Oh, yeah. I hear that, brother.
Yeah. Man.
Again, go to Nutrafol.com today and use promo code Stevie. Okay.
Can you use Nutrafol on your privates?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say yes or no, but I'm willing to roll the dice on that.
And just start braiding it and giving it different hairstyles and shit.
Nutrafol is great. It'll make your hair just healthier and thicker.
Nice.
Yeah, that. Who wouldn't want thicker nut hair?
Or belly button hair, like a nice thick.
Or butt hair.
Yeah, there you go.
Nutrafol.com. Go there today. Go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. If you want to help support the platform, go to stevieweebyshow.com for any merch. Oh, Scissor Bros. I'm going to do another podcast with comedian Jeremiah Watkins. Go every Friday and support that. The episodes drop every Friday at youtube.com/Scissor Bros. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. That's where the music is. If you want to send any packages or mail or anything, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Tony, it was a pleasure having
you. Thank
you,
sir.
You're always welcome. All the shapeshifters are welcome.
Nice.
Love it. And I'm going to, let me flash the hat.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry were woodpeckers, did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the west, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sand. Stir the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the raise. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Lift this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal of mail. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.